We're facing the worst food crisis since World War II. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Sasha Twining, in for Victoria Cray. Good morning. That dire warning from the head of the United Nations Food Programme bluntly lays out what could happen to world hunger if food production and delivery is still impacted by the war in Ukraine. David Beasley says it's a hellstorm on earth.
Well, if we don't open those ports, you're talking about a declaration of war on global food security. When you take 400 million people that are fed by the food that comes out of Ukraine and you shut that off, and then you add on top of that fertilizer problems, droughts, food costs, fuel costs, in the next 8 to 10 months, there's going to be a food pricing problems. Next year, there's going to be a food availability problem.
Ukraine is among the top five global exporters of products like wheat and barley. The country says its ports are currently blockaded by Russian troops. European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen said this morning that Russia is using food supplies as a weapon. Other countries are also reacting to steeply rising prices. It's believed India plans to restrict sugar exports for the first time in 6 years. And countries that depend on the exported goods or need products like fertilizer are already suffering. Here's the BBC's Anne Soy reporting from Western Kenya.
I'm standing on the edge of an expansive farm in Uasin Gishu County, Western Kenya. They're planting maize.
Oh, it's tough for us. Like diesel, the price went up. Fertilizer, the price doubled from last year.
I'm being shown around by the owner of this farm, Mary Kimwatan. She's very careful about how the planters are dispensing the fertilizer. It is a precious commodity now.
Like this season, we will be using one bag of fertilizer. Normally we use at about 1.5 or 2 bags.
But what does that mean for the productivity?
Production will be lower.
So for now, what have you decided in spite of all the problems?
Life has to go on. We can't stop eating.
No group is at greater risk now than those who depend on aid. Humanitarian agencies like the World Food Programme are worried. Olosib is WFP's head of research analysis and monitoring in West Africa.
You know, the need is high, the need is increasing, but at the same time, the level of resources that we are able to mobilize to come and help people is also reducing.
Much of the food they distribute comes from Ukraine and Russia. The two countries produce 30% of the world's wheat exports and 20% of maize. Only worries that the supply will be affected and that would drive costs up.
An increased cost of bread can also generate a lot of problems, especially in this region. We remember now in 2008 there were riots because of the high food price.
Russia being a major player in the global energy trade means that the supply and cost of fuel is also affected. For farmers like Mary, back in Western Kenya, it is frustrating.
So you need more money to do the work.
She now spends more to keep her tractors running, and diesel is becoming scarce. She leaves us at the farm carrying 3 200-litre drums on her pickup truck to go look for it. Even here in a remote part of Western Kenya, people are feeling the impact of a war in a faraway land.
Anne Soy there. Taking a look at the numbers now, Asian stocks retreated Tuesday on concerns over the impact of China's COVID-19 restrictions. We saw investment banks UBS Group and JP Morgan Chase cut their economic growth forecasts for the country. Meanwhile, Airbnb, the online lettings agency that lists private homes for holiday hire, is believed to be checking out of China with all listings set to be removed by the summer. The BBC's Nick Marsh has more.
Well, in a nutshell, it's zero COVID. First off, the international tourism is basically non-existent in China. It's so hard to get in and out of the country right now. But even if you look domestically, we've seen what happens in China when there's a flare-up of COVID cases. Look at Shanghai. They had a six-week lockdown. So you can understand then why Airbnb has decided to call it a day. And that's why from the 30th of July, you won't be able to book any more experiences or accommodation in China on Airbnb.
Well, take us back, though, to pre-pandemic. How successful were they then?
It was definitely a market that they were trying very hard to crack. They even made one of their co-founders, Nate Blacharczyk. They put him in charge of the operations for China, so they had high hopes for the business. In the end, though, China only made up about 1% of Airbnb's total revenue over the past few years. We know it was a pretty complicated and costly operation to run anyway. There's a lot of paperwork, a lot of government regulations that you need to comply with. There was also a lot of domestic competition there for Airbnb to contend with. I think, though, what might be even more worrying for Airbnb and really for the whole tourism industry in general, especially here in Asia, is the loss of Chinese travellers heading out of China. Now the government isn't even issuing passports. It's preventing citizens from leaving the country if they don't deem it necessary travel. So Airbnb has kept an office open in China for this kind of outbound travel, but it's going to be interesting to see how long that even lasts.
Nick Marsh in Singapore, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And finally, commuters heading into London this morning have a new option for travel.
The train approaching platform A is the service to Abbey Wood.
The long-awaited Elizabeth line has opened, albeit nearly 4 years late and around $5 billion over budget. It's one of Europe's largest infrastructure projects, and the new trains run east to west under the capital. And yes, it is named in honour of the Queen. In London, I'm Sasha Twining with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.